Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr, and it's quarter number three. That means it's time for Ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football, recruiting, or life questions. If you want to submit a question, you can download our app, Keystone Sports, or you can email us at info@keystonesports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and you will receive the KSN sweatshirt. T. Frank, are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be. Sometimes no. The answer is no, but I'll always tell you yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that, T. Frank. I'm not sure what direction would go in the show if you did say no. Let's just say it'd be a really fast segment. So that's it for quarter number three. Yeah. T. Frank's not prepared to take questions this week, so that is it. All right, let's start with my buddy Steve from Potomac, Maryland, who, as you might guess, was not happy with the performance. Wasn't happy with Clifford, wasn't happy with Yursich, wasn't happy with Franklin. So I'll tell you what, let's start with this one from Steve. How much of last season was Yursich to blame compared with just how bad Clifford is? How's that for an optimistic question for you, T. Frank?
That's a great question. So on the broad level, that's a great question. On the individual kind of getting into it, it's always more than that. It's always a myriad of things. And I will try and nutshell this offense for you in this way. It was a collection of pieces and parts that, when you put them together, made each other worse and not better. So I was trying to explain what happened along the offensive line, and I'll give you this example about Eric Wilson. When I watched his film in the preseason from Harvard, I saw a guy that was agile, that was pretty sound, disciplined on the offensive line, and had good technique. I thought he could get to blocks and he could make plays. Obviously, he's undersized. Moving from tackle to guard, not a big guy. But with Rasheed Walker on one side, a guy that's supposed to be a second or third round pick, which we talked about, and Mike Miranda, who's played almost 1,500 snaps in college football at center, you thought some of those weaknesses would disappear when you've got veterans and tenacity on either side. Rasheed Walker underperformed. Mike Miranda took a big step back this year from being a good offensive lineman to a below average one. So then Eric Wilson's weaknesses are fully exposed. And each is making each other worse. That has a cascade effect on the offense and what you can call, and on Clifford, who does not play well under pressure. For the millionth time, I'll say that again. You need to have a good situation with a good offensive line in front of him for him to operate well. This season we saw him succeed, they had a strong running attack. That doesn't mean every quarterback needs a strong running attack to win. That means Clifford does. And he didn't have that this year. So everything was on his shoulders. And for the first 5 weeks, he actually shouldered the load. But as the season went on and you removed things that Penn State could do, deep passing because of Clifford's inaccuracy downfield on some key routes and key areas of the football field, the inability to run the football, and then some inefficiencies here and there, just drop passes, tight ends underperforming, those sort of things, you're left with, well, what can you do? And then when teams found that out, they took that away, and what do you have left? Arkansas lined up at some points with four or five guys in the box because they knew Penn State couldn't run the football, and Penn State declined to run the football because they knew they weren't really going to move guys on the interior. So they tried to find other ways. They tried to work around these problems, but at a certain point, there are too many problems to work around and not enough solutions. And to me, that's kind of the story of this offense, was that that's what it was. That's ultimately what led to the disintegration that came out in the Outback Bowl, where Arkansas, whose strengths were set up to take advantage of Penn State's weaknesses, went ahead and did that. And that's kind of, as best I can explain in a short period of time, how it all fell apart in the second half of the season.
Kind of staying on the same theme, but looking ahead to next season, Jerry from Indio, California says, I fear Penn State will never achieve its promise with Clifford at quarterback, average at best and error prone. Would you start a freshman next year and let him grow into the position?
I thought, you know, for the four plays we saw him, Christian Veiu did one thing that Sean Clifford didn't, which was stay in the pocket. So I mentioned the pressure getting to Clifford. There were three-man rushes and four-man rushes where he's running from the pocket immediately. He's bailing, he's scrambling, he's breaking the play down and not letting things develop. Against an eight in coverage, you have to sometimes hang in there and read it out, and he didn't do that. Christian Veiu threw the ball into triple coverage. There was a miscommunication with him and with Parker Washington, it seemed like, or Parker Washington pulled up on a route. But it's 3rd and 17, and you're down by 14 points on the final drive of the game that you're realistically going to have the football. He at least stayed in the pocket and let it fly. So I don't think we have to discredit Christian Veiu as a guy that might be able to take a step forward if he's 210, 215 pounds. You saw he's got good mobility. We saw he was a good scrambler in college or in high school. He wasn't asked to run all that much in high school. So I think he's got real promise. Don't overlook him. He's got to be the one to pressure Clifford for the job. Because, I know Caleb Williams put his name in the portal earlier this week. I don't know if Penn State's going to go after him. I haven't seen his tape to know anything really about his game. I know he's a five-star quarterback who unseated Spencer Rattler. But I don't know. I know what I've seen from Christian Veiu, and I'm encouraged. So it's not just about Aller. Could it be Aller? Sure. But I think that you shouldn't look past Christian Veiu.
I think the nature of the question is, if you are in the position of making this decision, do you say, you know what, we've gone simply as far as we could go with Sean Clifford. It's time to move on. And that's perhaps decision number one. Then figure out which of the three young quarterbacks you would select to move on with. Is that the case if you were in charge of the quarterback room?
No. I mean, I would have moved on from Clifford already if I was in charge, because I've made that point clear. I kind of agree with the question that you're not going to get any better unless your team is elite and he is, you know, just a delivery vehicle for the football. It's got to be about the individual that steps up. It's got to be about the individual, because it's not going to be about the decision to move on from Sean Clifford. They've made the decision to bring him back. So somebody has to be better than Sean Clifford. Whoever that is, they have to make that loud and clear, and the offensive coordinator and the coach have to listen to that and make that decision to make the hard, brave decision to move on from the guy that you love and trust.
Let's shift gears a bit here, T. Frank. Ed from Tyrone says, where do you think Mitchell Tinsley will fit in among the wide receivers? Will he be the number two? Will he compete with Washington for number one? I guess I'm just asking, how good is he?
Really good. I did a film breakdown of him on my YouTube channel. I was a little bit shocked how much I liked him. He's got explosive twitchiness. As far as his overall athletic abilities, they're all above average. I don't know that there's anything that's elite about him, but the sum of his parts is phenomenal. So he could be the number one receiver. He could be the guy that comes in and, even with Parker Washington, keeps him in the slot for sure. So Tinsley's going to be a boundary, and Parker Washington's going to be the slot. And that might determine just some of those things we talked about Washington earlier. He might not get as many of those opportunities because Tinsley, that position just naturally gets them more. But both of them are going to be the ability to be that number one receiver. And then you got Keandre Lambert-Smith and Malik Mega as guys that can work in on the other side, plus the young guys that are on the roster already. There is depth now that you don't have to tap into as starters. I think it really, really sets off for a very positive, potent offense that is much more in line with what Mike Yurcich wants to do from the receiver position as far as vertical speed and the ability to break open big plays down the field.
Let's stay on the positive side of things here. And this is Jeff from Montgomeryville who says, despite the disappointment in the Outback Bowl, I think there are some positives going into next year. I believe we're solid at wide receiver, tight end, will be at running back, some good quarterbacks on the way, and pretty good at defensive back. This leaves offensive line, defensive line, and linebacker. Is it unrealistic to get help from the portal at all three of these positions?
No. There was a player, I haven't watched his film yet, that's, you know, kind of been recruited in the portal. He announced his top five destinations. That's an offensive lineman. So that's fully turned into recruiting again. So it's realistic they can get help on the offensive line in the portal. They're going to get help on the offensive line in the portal every year. They've talked about that at Bowl Media Day. That is going to be a part of their process going forward. Defensive line, yeah, I mean, they did it with Derek Tangelo and Arnold Ebikidi. You might not get the same results as far as the high-end ability, but they'll be able to find bodies for sure. The one that concerns me is linebacker, because I don't know that they have the full mix of players to play all three. But if Manny Diaz wants to go to much more of a 5-2 and play a slot corner more often, you've got a guy that's great, especially in coverage, in Daquan Hardy. So do you just play two linebackers and that's it? That's a possibility as well. And then you can mix and match to get your third linebacker, however you want to do that. If you move Curtis Jacobs over to the Sam and he plays both positions, I don't know. The linebacker position does concern me, and then I'd say, again, defensive end and defensive tackle. I like some of the football players there, but I don't like all of them, and I don't think they're all going to work out.
Some help at all of those positions would be a good thing. Let's go to Sammy in Lewisburg.
Can I say one thing quickly?
Sure.
One guy we haven't mentioned is Landon Tangwall. Good. That's another thing. So I think between Fashanu and Tangwall, you've got two offensive linemen that are going to be above average next year. We'll see more as they get more talented players going up against them, but I really like both of those players.
And that's a good thing. We obviously need building blocks on that offensive line. Sammy from Lewisburg says, Noah Kane and Kevon Lee appeared to be running the ball effectively, but didn't get many carries. Do you think that's was a mistake?
James Franklin thought it was a mistake after the game. He agreed with that. And yes, so I'm of two minds here, because I came in the game thinking they're not going to be able to run inside the tackles very well against this team, because they haven't done that all year against this profile of a team, and they didn't. But Landon, again, what I was saying earlier, Landon Tangwall moved people off the ball. He was moving that nose tackle pretty consistently, but he didn't play the whole game because they were rotating in their veterans and their seniors in their final game. They're not going to bench their seniors in their final game. James Franklin is a player's coach. He's going to do right by those guys. So Tangwall moved guys more than I think they were anticipating, so they went away from the inside running a game, and they tried to hit the perimeter too much. It didn't work. They went away from it. I don't blame them for that, because that's what I would have done. But at a certain point, someday, you have to establish an identity, and Penn State wants to be an inside zone running team and power and counter and everything around the tackles in between there. So, yeah, they probably need to run the ball more. But on the other hand, I don't blame them, because they just – what confidence did you have that they were going to be able to do that? Two of those runs as well, those two big runs, were schemed up, designed runs they came back to later and didn't work because Arkansas sniffed it out.
Okay, we need a winner, T. Frank.
Let's go Jeff from Montgomeryville about the portal.
Very good. Jeff will be getting in contact with you. Stick around. In quarter number four, we are going to talk recruiting. Stick around for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.